The procession. Who is this who comes up, embalming the desert of the world with her clouds of incense and myrrh and perfumes unnumbered? The bride has awakened of her own accord today, full of desire to please him, and very lovely. The church is standing before the golden litter whereon is throned her spouse in his glory. Near him are drawn up the valiant ones of Israel, the priests and Levites of the Lord, who are strong even with God. Go forth, ye daughters of Zion, fix your gaze on the true Solomon, so beautiful in the diadem wherewith his mother crowned him on the day of his espousals, the day of the joy of his heart. Footnote, Canticle of Canticles, chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. The diadem is the flesh received by the divine word from the Virgin Mother when he took our human nature for his bride. Footnote, St. Gregory the Great, Commentary on the Canticle. By this most perfect of bodies, by this sacred flesh, the ineffable mystery of the marriage between man and eternal wisdom is every day continued in the Eucharistic banquet. For our true Solomon, then, each day is the day of the joy of his heart, the day of nuptial rejoicing. Could anything be more just than that once in the year, Holy Church should give full freedom to the transports of her love for her divine spouse, who resides with her in the sacrament of love, although in a hidden manner? It is on this account that in today's Mass, the priest has consecrated two hosts, and that after having received one of these in communion, he has placed the other in the glittering ostensorium, which is to be carried in his trembling hands beneath a canopy, while hymns of triumphant joy are being sung, and the faithful in prostrate adoration are being blessed by Jesus, who thus comes amongst them. This solemn homage to the sacred host is, as we have already said, a later institution than the feast itself of Corpus Christi. Pope Urban IV does not speak of it in his bull of the institution in 1264. 22 years later, Durandus of Mende wrote his Rational of Divine Offices, in which he several times mentions the processions which were then in use, but he has not a word upon that of Corpus Christi. On the other hand, Martin V and Eugenius IV in their constitutions, which we have already quoted, May 26, 1429, and May 26, 1433, plainly show that it was then in use, for they grant indulgences to those who are present at it. Donatus Bosius of Milan tells us in his chronicle that on Thursday, May 24, 1404, quote, the body of Christ was, for the first time, solemnly carried through the streets of Padua, and this practice has since become the custom, end quote. Some writers have concluded from these words that the procession of Corpus Christi was not in use before that date, and that it first originated at Padua. But the words of Bosius scarcely justify such an inference, and the words he uses may be understood of a local custom. Indeed, we find mention made of this procession in a manuscript of the Church of Chartres in 1330, in an act of the chapter of Tournai in 1325, in a council of Paris in 1323, and in one held at Sens in 1320. These two councils grant indulgences to those who observe abstinence and fasting on the vigil of Corpus Christi, and they add these words, quote, as to the solemn procession made on the Thursday's feast, when the Holy Sacrament is carried, seeing that it appears to have been introduced in these our times by a sort of inspiration, we prescribe nothing at present, and leave all concerning it to the devotion of the clergy and people. End quote. Footnote. Labbe. It seems, then, that the initiative to the institution of today's procession was given by the devotion of the faithful, and that this admirable completion of our feast began in France, and thence was adopted in all the churches of the West. There is ground for supposing that at first the Sacred Host was carried in these processions, veiled over, or enclosed in a sort of rich shrine. Even so far back as the 11th century, it had been the custom in some places to carry it in this way during the processions of Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday morning. We have elsewhere spoken of these devotional practices, which, however, were not so much for the direct purpose of honoring the Blessed Sacrament, as for that of bringing more forward the mystery of these solemnities. Footnote: Passiontide and Holy Week, Paschal Time, Volume 1. Be this as it may, the use of ostensoria, or monstrances, as they are termed in a council held in 1452 at Cologne, soon followed the institution of the new procession. They were made, at first, in shape like little towers. In a manuscript missal dated 1374, the letter D, the initial of the collect for Corpus Christi, gives us a miniature illumination representing a bishop, accompanied by two acolytes, who is carrying a host in a golden tower with four openings. But Catholic piety soon sought to compensate the Son of Justice for thus hiding himself and his glory in the mystery of love. The Sacred Host was now exposed to the gaze of the faithful, enclosed in a crystal sphere, surrounded by rays of gold or of other precious material. Not to mention other and more ancient records, we find a very marked instance of the rapidity wherewith this use of the monstrance was adopted. It occurs in a gradual of the period of Louis XII, 1498 to 1515. The initial letter of the introit for Corpus Christi has within it a sun or sphere, like those in present use. It is being carried on the shoulders of two figures vested in copes, who are followed by the king and by several cardinals and prelates. Footnote: Thiers, de l'Exposition du Saint-Sacrement, Book 2, Chapter 2. And yet the Protestant heresy, which was then beginning, gave the name of novelty, superstition, and idolatry to these natural developments of Catholic worship, prompted as they were by faith and love. The Council of Trent pronounced anathema upon these calumnies, and in a chapter apart, footnote, Session 13, Chapter 5, and Canon 6, showed how rightly the Church had acted in countenancing these practices. The words of the Council are as follows. Quote, "The Holy Council declares that there has been most piously and religiously introduced into God's Church the practice that each year on a certain special feast, the august and venerable sacrament should be honored with singular veneration and solemnity, and that it should be reverently and with every honor carried in processions through the public roads and places. For it is most just that certain holidays should be appointed, whereon all Christians should, with special and unusual demonstrations, evince their gratitude and mindfulness towards their common Lord and Redeemer, for this so unspeakable and truly divine favor, in which is represented his victory and triumph over death. And it was also necessary that thus invincible truth should triumph over lying and heresy, that her enemies, seeing all that splendor, and being in the midst of such great joy of the whole Church, should either grow wearied and acknowledge their being beaten and broken, or, being ashamed and confounded, should be converted." End quote. But to us Catholics, faithful adorers of the sacrament of love, quote, "Oh, the joy of the immense glory the Church is sending up to God this hour, verily, as if the world was all unfallen still. We think, and as we think, the thoughts are like so many successive tide waves filling our whole souls with the fullness of delight. Of all the thousands of masses which are being said or sung the whole world over, and all rising with one note of blissful acclamation from grateful creatures to the majesty of our merciful Creator. How many glorious processions, with the sun upon their banners, are now wending their way round the squares of mighty cities, through the flower-strewn streets of Christian villages, through the antique cloisters of the glorious cathedral, or through the grounds of the devout seminary, where the various colors of the faces and the different languages of the people are only so many fresh tokens of the unity of that faith, which they are all exultingly professing in the single voice of the magnificent ritual of Rome. Upon how many altars of various architecture, amid sweet flowers and starry lights, amid clouds of humble incense, and the tumult of thrilling song, before thousands of prostrate worshippers, is the Blessed Sacrament raised for exposition, or taken down for benediction? And how many blessed acts of faith and love, of triumph and of reparation, do not each of these things surely represent? The world over, the summer air is filled with the voice of song. The gardens are shorn of their fairest blossoms, to be flung beneath the feet of the sacramental God. The steeples are reeling with the clang of bells. The cannons are booming in the gorges of the Andes and the Apennines. The ships of the harbors are painting the bays of the sea with their show of gaudy flags. The pomp of royal or republican armies salutes the King of Kings. The Pope, on his throne, and the schoolgirl in her village, cloistered nuns and sequestered hermits, bishops and dignitaries and preachers, emperors and kings and princes, all are engrossed today with the Blessed Sacrament. Cities are illuminated, the dwellings of men are alive with exultation. Joy so abounds that men rejoice they know not why, and their joy overflows on sad hearts, and on the poor, and the imprisoned, and the wandering, and the orphaned, and the homesick exiles. All the millions of souls that belong to the royal family and spiritual lineage of Saint Peter are today engaged more or less with the Blessed Sacrament, so that the whole church militant is thrilling with glad emotion, like the tremulous rocking of the mighty sea. Sin seems forgotten. Tears even are of rapture rather than of penance. It is like the soul's first day in heaven, or as if earth itself were passing into heaven, as it well might do, for sheer joy of the Blessed Sacrament. End quote. Footnote. Father Faber, The Blessed Sacrament. During the procession, the hymns of today's office are sung, also the Laudation, the Te Deum, and if time permit, the Benedictus Magnificat, or other liturgical pieces in keeping with the spirit of the feast, such as the hymns for the Ascension, as specified in the ritual. On the return to the church, the function concludes, as at other benedictions, with the Tantum Ergo, the versicle and collect of the Blessed Sacrament. But after the blessing has been given, the deacon does not put the sacred host into the tabernacle, but on the throne prepared for it, around which, for 8 days, the faithful will be keeping a devout and adoring watch.